Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to The Press. It's Tuesday. It's Halloween, October the 31st, 2023. I'm Ryan Balaji. Thanks for joining us on the Tuesday show. We're going to talk about two tournaments today. Won't be a very long edition of the show, but we do want to talk about the LPGA's event, the Toto Japan Classic, and not Toto, the people who sang Africa originally, but Toto, different band company thing. That's the one event this week on the LPGA, and then the other main event for the week is on the PGA Tour Champions, and that is the TimberTech Championship. That's their second playoff event. We'll talk about that a little bit. 54-player field for that. I talked about the Worldwide Technology Championship yesterday, and we'll talk about it again tomorrow on the model show. So we've had some data issues the last, basically throughout the fall portion of the schedule, trying to get data from ShotLink after it's archived, because the way that it's presented in the tool that the PGA Tour offers is it's kind of messed up right now, because there are two versions of each event played this fall, because they already played it this season. So as they're trying to change the schedule, where the fall isn't going to be the fall as we've known it for the last 10 years, it's just going to be the FedEx fall. Well, they had to have two falls. So they had to have the fall for the 2022-2023 season, and then the 2023 fall, which would normally be considered the 2024 version of that event under the PGA Tour's data usage. But it's not, because the 2024 version of that event will, moving forward, be on a calendar year basis. So all of the events this year in the fall are double events, which makes it kind of awkward from a data perspective. So trying to get all that sorted out, finally figured that out on my end today, and hopefully we'll get a resolution to that soon for all of our members at golfnewsnet.com. So hopefully we'll have that ready to go tomorrow. In the meanwhile, we've got the final event of the Fall Asian Swing on the LPGA. It's called the Toto Japan Classic. This kind of tends to move around a little bit in terms of venue. It's not a big draw for top 50 players, especially compared to two of the other four events between Malaysia and South Korea. This one is more Japan-centric. It is in Japan. And so there's a mix with the Japan Tour, the Japanese LPGA, and not as many top players from the LPGA stick around. Because, I mean, if you played in Malaysia last week and then you go to play the event in Japan, that's not inconsequential travel. That is a big deal. It's a big ask. So for these players that might have played in Shanghai and South Korea and then gone to Malaysia, I mean, I don't think anyone, I mean, very few players there, at least top players, played those three in a row. You would be logging a lot of miles, much less four in a row, because you know if you're a top player, you're into the CME Group Tour Championship. So you might as well just fly home, get back on your own time, get ready for the new event or the new version of the Pelican Women's Championship, which would be the Annika. That'll be the last event before the CME Group Tour Championship. So this field is a little bit different this week. Not as many top 50 players. A lot of the players at the top of the board are Japanese-born, and that makes sense. Well, let's go over the board and we'll offer some plays. Hyuju Kim, 13-2. Janet Lin, 12-1. Yuka Sasso and Nasa Hataoka, 14-1. Rose Zhang, Ayuka Furu are 16-1 each. Miyu Yamashita, Mao Saigo, 18-1. Jie Shin is 20-1 with Hannah Green. Jenny Shin is 25-1 with Siomu Bay, 28-1. Kokona Sakurai. And Aiki Iwai is 28-1. Jennifer Kupcho is a notable at 38-1. Inji Chun's 40-1 with Gemma Drybura. Momoko Ueda, who's been on and off the LPGA over the years, is 50-1. Ai Suzuki, haven't seen her in a while, 40-1. So a fair number of players that came over to the United States version of the LPGA and played when, you know, the pre-COVID years. A lot of them have returned back to Japan and just kind of stayed there. So some names I do want to point out at the top of the board. I think you should like Janet Lin at 12-1. She won recently. She is a money-making machine. She's finished close. Had a runner-up in Portland. Got close a couple more times recently. Won on the LET. Gotta like her. She's playing great. Yuka Sasso and Nasa Hatooka. I think you can like for both for different reasons, but I would like Nasa Hatooka more. Rose Zhang had the 54-hole lead last week in Malaysia and didn't wind up getting there. And I think that's an instructive lesson to a young player who's already won. And I hope for her that means quick study. 16-1 is worth a play here. She is a class player in this field, and I think she can play this style of golf pretty well. Japanese golf, there are various styles to it, but it tends to kind of be tree-lined, fairly narrow fairways, not huge green targets. That kind of fits Rose Zhang and where I have seen her perform her best over the course of the times I've seen her play. Hannah Green and G.A. Shin, I think, are both worth a look. Jenny Shin, for that matter, 25-1. I played Jenny Shin last week at 45-1. She did not have a good week. It was her first really bad week in 6 weeks, six tournaments. So I'm going to stick with her here against a weaker field. I don't like the number as much, obviously, but I think that tells you kind of the quality of the field. Hannah Green at 20-1. Again, she should win way more often than she does. She had a good crack at it last week. I'm going to stick with her here and expect that she's going to do well. She's going to make the trek back at the end of, well, I guess the really end of the year, beginning of next year for the Women's Australian Open or the Australian Women's Open. They call it just Australian Open there. They don't call it Women's Australian Open, which I appreciate. Pass on Jennifer Kupcho. Gemma Dreiber is kind of interesting, but I would actually rather go past her. Go down a little bit farther. Jasmine Suwanapora had a really good chance to win last week, and she's 75-1. I'm not saying she's going to do the same thing again, but it feels like that level of disrespect is at least worth a small bet. Esther Henslight, I'm going to keep hitting. 90-1. That's a good number for someone who's playing great golf. I'm going to stick with her at 90-1. And then this is a no-cut event, so you don't have to worry about, missing cuts and all those types of things. But I do kind of want to look at Sarah Kemp at 130-1 as well. So not a whole lot to talk about here. I don't think you're going to get an exceptional, upset win here in all of this. Maybe Albin Valenzuela. She kind of shows up at random times, but she does seem to like trickier, more tree-lined golf courses. She was T60 last time out. The BMW Ladies Championship, T71. The Ascendant T62, like, she's not playing great golf, but those are, I don't think, golf courses that really fit her game very well. You want to look back really at the Portland Classic, T59. So, I mean, that's just a kind of a $5 random play, but that's not where I want to throw a substantial amount of money. Just kind of she's 250-1. I think she could beat a lot of these players. And if she starts to beat a lot of those players, maybe she captures a whole lot of confidence. She can win. I mean, she was a darn good college player. Just really is not translated to the LPGA maybe the way a lot of people expected. So I would probably stay toward the top of the board here. Janet Lin, Nasa Hatooka, Rose Zhang would be my favorites. Hannah Green, I'm going to throw in there. G.A. Shin, you would probably not feel bad about betting. And then maybe Jasmine Suwanapora and Esther Henslight would round it out for me. Quick, easy, straight to the point. Then we'll switch over to the PGA Tour Champions. They have their second playoff event this week of three. This is the TimberTech Championship in Boca Raton, Florida. The old course at Broken Sound, I think is what it is. And they've had this event for the last few years. It will be the last year for this event. There's going to be a new tournament that takes over in Arkansas. The Simmons Bank Championship, I think it is. They have one on the Korn Ferry Tour already. I don't know if they're getting rid of that one and moving to this one or adding another. I'm not sure about that. But this venue has been host to the PGA Tour Champions for several years, even before it became a playoff event. The playoffs are over. Steve Stricker's the winner. So now all these events are just to figure out who's second through fifth in the Charles Schwab Cup standings. because the $2.1 million bonus pool gets spread out among five players. Stricker's going to win the $1 million prize. It's done and dusted. So now we've got to figure out in these 54-player events, and it's really not even 54 players because Stricker's not playing, so it's 53 players. And there are probably a couple others who aren't playing. But nevertheless, no-cut event, three rounds, and then the final event, which will be the Charles Schwab Cup Championship, is 36 players, no-cut, four rounds. This is still three. So top of the board, Steve Alker, 11-2. Patrick Harrington's next best at 6-1. Bernhard Langer's third best at 11-1. I would bet Langer. He's won here. He's close to his home, likes the venue. Ernie Els is playing well, 12-1, I think is worth a look. Miguel Angel Jimenez at 14-1, played well at this venue, likes it, is worth a look. Jerry Kelly's been playing well, I think is worth a look. But I'm going to go down a little bit more to 22-1. Y.E. Yang has really had himself a nice little season here on the Champions. I think he's worth a look for sure. I would look at Vijay Singh at 35-1. He's won here, or won this year on the tour. Doesn't happen as often as it probably should have for a guy that was that prolific of a winner on the PGA Tour. But when he's engaged, he's engaged. And 35-1, I think, is an interesting number on him. Do want to point out a couple folks that I think are interesting. Steve Flesch can win on this venue. He kind of wins at random times, but 75-1 is a long enough number for me to get interested in him. And then I want to point out someone you shouldn't bet, even though he's had a great year, and that's Stephen Ames. He's 50-1. It's like he's fallen off the face of the earth, and that's really unfortunate for him. And then I probably will throw just a couple of dollars on Tim O'Neill, who's gotten through in the top 54. He's had himself a really, really nice season and needs another good week this week to give himself a chance to get to the season finale. So it's hard to do. It's hard to move up big time in these standings, just the way that the dollars work and the points work. But if Tim O'Neill has a huge week this week, I would not be all that shocked. Let me put it that way. But hopefully he can find a way into the top 36. I continue to root for his story, and I hope he does well. There have been, and I have seen, given this is a short show, DraftKings has opened up a sports book at TPC San Antonio, and because of that, they've put up odds for the Phoenix Open for next year already. I think that's quite a bit premature, but I think it gives you an idea of what the field could look like. Next year, they've put up a ton of players, but someone I kind of want to bring to your attention here is Ludwig Åberg. He's 40-1. Playing great golf this fall, I think it's worth a consideration. Same thing for Sahith Theegala. It's 45-1 to win basically in February. Long bombing hitter. Got close here before. Is a winner now. Different kind of player. I think is absolutely worth the consideration here. And then I might want to throw in a Rick Fowler bet at 35-1 as well. It probably will get a little bit longer for Ricky because he hasn't played particularly well since winning in July. But I just wanted to throw a couple of those bets out there to get your attention about it. Those odds are out there, and this isn't a major championship by any stretch of the imagination, but the handle on this is probably going to be pretty decent. So if you want to get out in front of that a little bit, you can. If not, hey, up to you. Don't worry about it. But at least wanted to point out a couple of names that were worth considering at the prices where they currently sit in this kind of look-ahead futures market. And see if that kind of spurs up any interest. But this is a downtime of year, so I'm already kind of thinking about the Masters and a couple of other things. But the Masters is at least worth a consideration for a couple of seconds. Just so you know, Jon Rahm is the outright top of the table, 15-2. Scottie Scheffler, 8-1. Rory is 9-1. Victor Hovland's 14-1. Kind of surprised I would get Victor Hovland at that number now. That's a pretty good one worth looking at. Cam Smith at 22-1 is kind of interesting to me. He had a pretty decent year on LIV. Colin Morikawa at 25-1 is shorter now. But he played great golf at the Zozo Championship. I don't know if that's the start of something for him. But it is at least worth looking at, I think. Sungjae Im at 40-1. Likes the venue. Likes the tournament. I think that's a good number for him. So just some seeds to plant there, starting to think about next year already, because we don't have too many more weeks of competitive golf left here. And once the DP World Tour and PGA Tour are over, then we're done for the year. So we would then come back in January. So just starting to plant those seeds a little bit, because we won't be talking about them in December, because we won't be doing shows. All right, that's going to do it for us today on The Press. Thanks so much for spending some time with me. I appreciate it. You can email me Ryan at thegolfnewsnet.com and get a hold of me on social media at Ryan Ballingy on Twitter, X, Threads, and Instagram. We'll be back tomorrow to round up the week, talk about the model for the Worldwide Technology Championship. Thanks so much for your time. We'll catch you tomorrow on The Press.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It's almost Election Day, Central Ohio, and your voice matters. On Tuesday, November 4th, COTA is making it easier to get to the polls with free rides all day long on all services. No fare, no hassle. Just hop on board on Tuesday, November 4th for an easy way to cast your vote. Whether you're taking the bus, COTA Mainstream, or COTA Plus, your ride is on us. Let's roll to the polls together. Plan your trip on the transit app or at coda.com.